Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome Sunday night.
It is. I'm glad to be back here again with you on Sunday evening.
Drove up from Youngstown, did you?
Yeah, I did.
And how was the turnpike?
It's good. Doing pretty good. Yeah. They maintain it well.
Maybe someday we should do a show from one of the rest stops.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Live.
Yeah, live from...
with a crowd.
Yeah.
Everybody who's going to the Starbucks and going to the burger place.
Because you got those nice big meeting areas, you know.
If you were coming from the east and I was coming from the west, we'd have to kind of switch around to go to the same rest stop.
Yeah. Well.
Well, anyway.
There's two in between, so.
Yeah, let's just do it in the studio. But
you know, there's some there's like those pullover spots, like where you can stop for a while. You know.
Yeah.
It would be out in the open, but it would be kind of noisy probably because you have trucks and stuff passing by. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we'd have to have some like
trucks whizzing by.
Yeah. Honk if you like.
They'd say, "What are those two guys doing?
What are you guys doing out there?"
We could have a "We Love Jesus" banner up.
We can set up a sukkah and just camp out over there for a while and do a little tent revival.
Anyway. Can we do something serious now?
Please.
Can I be frank? Oh, no, wait a minute.
I thought you were Phil.
I thought I am. Okay. So I can't be frank. So anyway, we're coming right up on the Easter season. I mean, like, right up on it.
We are.
Next Sunday's Palm Sunday.
It is.
I can't believe it.
I know.
I love Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
I think we should do a Palm Sunday radio show on Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Baruch Haba.
Woo.
The Shem Adonai. That's whole song.
Awesome. That's a great Palm Sunday song.
Yeah.
But today, we're not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
We've been talking off and on the last few weeks while we were doing Ezekiel and Isaiah. We periodically mentioned the sign of Jonah. And Stephen had this passage, told me this passage, I don't know how many weeks ago it was now, but I've been kind of intrigued by this because, you know, it does sort of follow from what we did. Because it does kind of follow that in our time that we're living in now, people have kind of gone all over the place on doctrines and, you know, Paul talks about how people won't be able to endure sound doctrine and they'll tell them, you know, teachers what your itching ears want to hear. And,
right.
And we've certainly heard that in our time. And, even if you turn on certain cable Christian networks, you can hear teachers that are, you know, teaching a lot of stuff that's pretty weird. It's not Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah. It's not sound teaching.
Yeah. Not sound teaching. And, this passage, and we're going to use Luke's account in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 29, if you want to flip to it or double tap it or double click it or whatever you do to get to it. Unless you're driving, then you can just listen.
Yeah.
Like I always tell Steve when he's driving, don't try to open your Bible and read.
No, don't do that. No, it's not a good idea.
No. And this is a kind of an interesting passage where Jesus is addressing his own people. He's addressing Jewish people that he's talking to. Mm-hmm. He's addressing his own covenant people. And he makes a couple of interesting comparisons. So why don't we read that first? Luke 11, 29 through 32.
Okay. While still more people gathered in the crowd, he said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. at the judgment of men, at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here.
Ooh, that's pretty awesome.
It is.
Let me say, Jonah's definitely not one of my favorite books, and not one of my favorite prophets.
No?
No, I don't like him.
Why not?
And I think it ends kind of weird.
Oh, well, it was a little rebellious.
I think there should have been a different ending. But like we say, knowing the, some of the Christian teachers that are out there today, somebody will probably write a new ending for it.
there you go.
But anyway, this is an interesting thing because, you know, Jesus is talking about a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, everybody wants to see a sign. You know, he says the Jews demand signs, the Greek demand wisdom.
Yeah.
Everybody always wants to see something. Well, if you're really who you say you are,
Show us a sign.
Show us a sign. You know, can you turn this into bread or can you make that thing go away? Or we can't logically in our wisdom figure out who you are. So therefore, we're not going to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And says, you know, this generation wants a sign. He calls it an evil generation. Now, he's talking to his fellow Jews. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's not talking to an audience of Romans. He's not talking to an audience of Greeks. He's talking to Israelites. And he said, you know, they had actually seen a lot of signs. They had seen him doing miracles. You know, some of these people, I think, followed him around just because they were waiting for, like, some kind of cool miracle to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we heard that he fed 5,000 people. Let's see what he's going to do today. Or, oh, yeah, I was there when he made that free dinner for everybody, so I'm going to hang around and maybe he'll do it again and I won't have to stop at Arby's on the way home. Or, you know, any of those things. I mean, these people had seen signs and a lot of people were looking for some more signs.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when, you know, when Jesus did heal someone, you know, whatever town he went into, there was generally, there were going to be healings that took place.
Mm-hmm.
There were healings that took place. And when you have the multiplication of the loaves and, you know, where people are fed,
mm-hmm.
well, they're like, wow, this is good. You know, gosh, all he told us to do was sit down. We got food. This was great. You know, it's kind of like when Peter's on Mount Tabor and Jesus is transfigured and he goes, Lord, this is great. Let's stay here.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to stay there.
Yeah. But the other thing that comes to mind is they want a sign, but I'm getting the sense to go back to the manna in the desert. Because God provided for them as a sign, and they were fed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet after a while, they grew weary and tired of that, and they complained against God. They grumbled against him. So Jesus tells them, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah.
Ooh.
So it's like he knows, you guys want a sign, and then you're going to tell me you're going to believe. But, you know, whether you believe or not, your heart's going to probably grow cold again.
Mm.
And so what he's, you know, as you were saying that about, you know, people want a sign and they want to see things so that we can believe, that's the opposite of faith. Because faith is, you know, believing in something that you can't see.
Yes.
And that you can't fully explain. But you know to be true.
Well, that's an excellent point.
You know?
Exactly.
So if I say, well, God, you know, I'm going to believe in you. If you do this, then I believe in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make a deal with them.
Yeah, you're kind of making, you're bartering with God. Like, okay, well, you know, if I see you and if you do this sign for me, then God, then I'll know that you're real. So it's an interesting passage here because Jesus tells them that their hearts aren't in the right place with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're demanding a sign. They want a sign, but he's not going to give them one.
Yeah.
And it, you know, when Sandy and I would do some healing ministry, some people would, you know, there's signs and wonders that do happen. But the sign and the wonder is, you know, an external thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And God certainly does heal people physically or emotionally.
She had a healing.
Sandy had a healing. You know, my wife and I were both here. We have both had experience of spiritual healing mm-hmm. because we weren't in the right relationship with God. But it's that spiritual healing, you know, that relationship with God that's the most important healing that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the pruning comes in. And I think before you've said that you don't like pruning.
I don't like to be pruned.
No. I don't. Yeah, it's not always a fun thing. But while the physical healing and, you know, I've seen someone healed of blindness. You know, their sight was restored because they were shot.
Mm.
And this young man forgave the person that shot him.
Yeah.
And his sight was restored. You know, when you see things like that, it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And there's really no, you know, it's like, okay, there's really no words to describe what happens there, but other than God performed a miracle
mm-hmm.
and his glory shines through that. So, but in that case, nobody was seeking a sign like, oh Lord, if you heal my sight, I'll believe. No, the guy forgave, which is one of the things that Jesus tells Peter. Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? Mm-hmm. Seven times? Mm-hmm. Come on, that's a lot, you know? No, Peter,
mm-hmm.
seven times 70.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's a little much.
Are you serious? That's a lot.
Yeah. And that's, we had, you know, as you were, I think, there around those days, you know, we had two people healed of MS at one of my home groups.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandson had a miraculous healing that everybody was praying for. And so those are signs.
Yes.
But Jesus is telling these people they're an evil generation because they want a sign.
Yeah.
So he's basically telling them, you guys aren't here to be converted or really follow me or have metanoia. You know, you don't really want to change your ways. You just want to see something.
Yeah.
And you just want to talk about it later when you go home and say, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You have a home group or a prayer group and you have people coming in and there's healings that take place because people are opening to God they're repentant and they are, you know, they want to receive that metanoia. They're interested in just being closer to the Lord.
Exactly.
And then you have maybe you have some people coming in and they're kind of scoping the place out. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus is talking about.
Yeah. And signs, you know, when he's pointing to this with this sign of Jonah's, which I guess is the title of this. You know, when he says the sign of Jonah is going to be given, what he's actually talking about is the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, and we've taught about this numerous times, that the resurrection was the ultimate sign that Jesus was Messiah, that his sacrifice on the cross paid for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the resurrection is the ultimate sign that that was true.
Right.
Because Paul says, if there was no resurrection, then we're still in our sin.
Exactly.
And not only are we still in our sin, but we're pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, we put our hopes in a dead Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very exciting.
No.
And so this is the ultimate sign. And so he's telling this generation that wasn't really interested in converting in any way. You want to see a sign from me, you're going to see an ultimate sign because it's going to be the sign of Jonah. Now, they were Israelites. They knew the book of Jonah. Jonah was a minor prophet. Really minor. I mean, this guy.
Well, you know, he couldn't get anything done because he was in the belly of that fish for so long.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, but, you know, he's cast into the sea. Then he's inside the belly of the great fish. The Bible says it's a great fish. I was going to say it's a whale, but whatever it is. It was made just for that purpose, you know. Yeah, so he's 3 days in this fish. Then he's kind of, you know, thrown up onto the shoreline that happened to be right by Nineveh. But, you know, then he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
So for 3 days, he's kind of buried in this thing,
mm-hmm.
and then he's alive.
Yeah.
And Jesus quotes this as the sign of Jonah.
Yeah.
And Nineveh, of course, was a great city. It says it took 3 days to walk across it, which in those days would have been a pretty huge city. Well, even today would be a pretty big city and area.
Oh, yeah.
3 days to walk across it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Gentile city. They weren't looking for the God of Israel. They weren't looking for any kind of prophets or saviors or anything. They were just going about their pagan business when this guy, Jonah, who, you know, showed up after being inside a fish for 3 days, so he was probably kind of stinky, comes in and says, hey, you know what? You guys better repent because in 40 more days, this whole place is going to be trashed. And they listened to him.
Yes,
he preached as he went across the city. They listened to him. They even got to the king, who declared a fast
right.
for the whole kingdom. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They fasted.
Yep.
And they repented, and the city was saved.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, and Jesus is telling them, you know, that at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise with this generation and condemn it because of the preaching of Jonah, as you just said, they repented and there was something greater than Jonah here. And he's referring to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to rise from the dead. He's the substance. Jonah was, you know, this was a type and shadow, a prefigurement of the death of Messiah and the resurrection of Jesus. And but these men believed the word of Jonah, and they repented.
Yeah.
You know, how many times did God send the prophets to the nation of Israel, and they didn't heed his word at all?
That's right.
And, you know, you see that, man, this foreigner received this word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the story of the leper, you know, with the 10 lepers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're all healed, but only one comes back and gives glory to God. And Jesus says, Is it only this foreigner?
Yeah. Weren't all 10 healed?
Weren't all 10 healed? And only this foreigner comes back and praises God?
Yeah.
You know, that's a prefigurement of the nations coming into the kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
Because they're going to be healed and they're going to give God glory.
And that applies to our time too.
Yes.
Because that applies to the church as well.
Yeah.
Because we that are in the church, you know, we should be doing the stuff, so to speak.
Yes, we should. And sadly, the church has been divided into how many different, you know, all these different fractions, denominations, and whatever. And it's sadly, you know, as we talk about this on the show from week to week, and we discuss and share, you know, the Old Testament to the New Testament and just the parallels between the two. Before the Lord sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to be poured out upon all flesh, it was all about the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Jewish people. And they received the Holy Spirit first.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit, they're brought into the kingdom.
Yeah.
But now the Gentile churches are squabbling amongst each other about who has more of the Holy Spirit and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, so now the Gentiles are dividing themselves.
Yeah, it's a similar situation.
Yeah, and it's totally irrelevant.
First break already.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun, mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Yeah. together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, even so, even so, Yeshua.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Yeah. So this line of Jonah, you know, 3 days, it's interesting because...
Can you imagine that being in the belly of a fish for 3 days?
No.
Oof. Oof, man.
Yeah. We.
No wonder they listened to him. Okay, just yeah. Go. We'll do it. Just go away.
Yeah. We did Jonah not too long ago at my North Ridgeville group.
Was he
that
there?
That was a top... No, actually, he never showed up.
Oh, okay.
I was going to interview him, but he never showed up.
Good thing. You probably would have to clear out the room.
Well, you know, he turns out to be a big poop in the last chapter, because he sits up there and wants God to destroy the city. It says, okay, let's,
yeah, that's right.
He gets a bag of popcorn and
it's like,
he's ready to watch. And, you know, God says, dude, you know, who do you think you are? Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we should do the book of Jonah. No. Ooh. But interestingly, you know, Messiah suffered and died. He was in the tomb for 3 days. And Jesus, you know, says in another passage, I can't think offhand now where it is, that, you know, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and the Son of Man will be in the bowels of the earth for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 3 days in the tomb and then rises from the dead. So it's 3 days, then out. And then, interestingly, the gospel is preached to the Gentiles right after that,
mm-hmm.
within a short time. And as you mentioned, you know, after Pentecost, the gospel just starts to go all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the equivalent of Nineveh being converted. Apologies to all the Ninevehites.
Ninevehites.
I think I have some in my neighborhood. But, you know, it's kind of the equivalent of that. That the gospel goes out to Gentiles after this great sign of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody would have, you know, nobody would have thought about that before. And nobody would have even conceived that the Gentiles were going to be involved in this, even though they had a lot of prophecies in Isaiah that we've mentioned many times. And he says, too, he indicates that the Son of Man, in other words, himself, was the sign for that evil generation. And even though he was the sign for them, they spoke against the sign.
Mm-hmm.
So here comes Messiah after, you know, Paul says in the book of Romans that of all the people, they should have got the fact that this is the Messiah.
Yeah.
Because they had the Torah, they had the prophets, they had all the literature in the Tanakh, they had the signs and wonders that he did. They could mm-hmm. see where he was born, how he lived his life. All these things were prophesied, and all these things were prefigured in the Torah and in the prophets. So he says, of all the people, the Israelites should have gotten this.
Yeah.
But they spoke against the sign, which is what made them an evil generation.
Yeah.
So Nineveh got Jonah as the sign. So Jonah was their sign. They didn't speak against him. They right. believed him.
Yeah.
And they repented.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. John the Baptist is their preparing the way of the Lord, making straight his path. And what do they do? He gets beheaded. You know, there's people that come to repentance. Yeah. There's people that are baptized.
Yeah.
But it's the religious leaders who don't really want him there.
Almost all the prophets were killed.
Yeah.
One way or another.
You know, Jesus is there proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is at hand. Oh gosh, there was one other thing that was coming to mind. And it's, I got to think of it. But, it's similar because this message is given to the Gentile, to a Gentile city, the Ninevites, and they hear it and they receive it and they repent.
Yes.
And what happens to the people after Pentecost? Cornelius' house.
Yeah.
You know, Peter goes over there, starts proclaiming the word, and God must have, you know, he probably thought, well, we got a lot to do today, Peter, so here, boom, Holy Spirit, there you go. Sorry to interrupt your speech, but we got to get moving with things.
Yeah. You're talking too long.
You got more prayer meetings to do. Come on, Peter, let's go. So this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's taken place is, you know, the Gentiles are receiving it.
Yeah.
Just as here in this passage.
But then see, the thing too is, if you don't accept the sign, there's a warning that comes. So he quotes the Queen of the South first, but let's go to the second thing he quotes, which is, the Ninevites are going to rise up to judge this generation. In other words, these people were Gentiles. They were converted by the prophet Jonah. They repented because of the teaching of the prophet Jonah. And they are now going to come up during the judgment to say, hey, we were a Gentile city and we didn't know anything about any of this, but we repented at this teaching. We got the sign that was going on. You people are the chosen covenant people and you missed the sign. Therefore, you're under judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you know, if you don't accept the sign, if you don't listen and accept, then you're under this judgment, just as if, you know, greater than the destruction of Nineveh, greater than whatever happens to these Gentile people. And those Gentile people are going to rise up as witnesses saying, we listened to God's prophet and we repented and you people blew it. And Jesus says, now one greater than Jonah is here. The teaching is greater than Jonah's. The preaching is greater than Jonah's.
Yeah.
And they're still not listening.
Yeah.
Still not listening, still not accepting this. They still want to see a sign. They want to see, they want to be entertained. They want to be wowed by something.
Mm-hmm.
So this generation, this evil generation, is not impressed by him. They want to see something happen.
Yeah.
They're not interested in turning away from their evil ways. They're not interested in repenting. And it's the same in our time. You know, there's people walking around that aren't thinking, you know, I think today I really should repent. I mean, everybody's doing their stuff and everybody's listening to their thing. And then if they do wander into a church somewhere where the preacher's telling them, hey, everything's great.
Yeah.
We take care of everybody here. Everybody's welcome. I hope you have fun while you're here.
Right.
You know, God wants you to be rich and you come to the Lord, you're going to have all this stuff. And you say, hey man, who said anything about repenting? I can just like hang out here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what I was going to say was, you know, when Jesus is talking about this evil generation, you know, he's speaking about the generation that's there obviously in the time of that he's alive. And how they rejected this whole message of what was being presented. The wise men, when they came to Herod, and that's what I was thinking of. Uh-huh. When, you know, when the wise men, when they came to Herod, and then he asked, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees to come and, you know, where's the Messiah supposed to be born at? Oh, it's right here.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't get up and go. They saw, there was the sign before them with the wise men. We saw the star at its rising.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man that was healed of blindness, and Jesus heals him of being blind, and he's telling the scribes and Pharisees what happened, And when they ask him this, you know, to say it again, he goes, "Why do you want to become his disciple too?" That's one of our favorite passages.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But what do? They receive it? They don't receive the sign. They throw him out.
Right.
You get out of here. Yeah. You were born into sin. You're going to tell us what? No way. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. So all along, Jesus is seeing this generation mm-hmm. reject the signs that are being presented to them mm-hmm. to give them the opportunity mm-hmm. to say, "Wow,
yeah,
God's among us."
Yeah. And most of them are going to turn away.
And right. And instead of repenting yeah. and receiving the message of salvation like the Ninevites did and receiving God's mercy, they reject it and their hearts are even hardened and they don't receive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So that's the story with the Ninevites. So they're going to rise up and be at that judgment then.
We're going to see them. We're going to see them.
Yeah, we'll see them, and it'll be interesting.
Like, hey,
they won't be wearing sackcloth and ashes anymore. They'll be wearing some like cool white robes.
Yeah.
But like we will be singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
They'll probably be there.
Then the people that, you know, haven't accepted Jesus, haven't repented, haven't come on board, whether they're Israelites or whoever they are, you know, they're going to be judged, and these people are going to be there to witness the judgment. And then he also uses the Queen of the South. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing because the Queen of the South refers to Sheba, who was the Queen of Ethiopia. And she went to Jerusalem to see Solomon's temple. Yeah. So the background of it is, Solomon's temple was one of the wonders of the world. It was beautiful. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It was small but amazing. If you read the dimensions of it, and we're not going to do that now, it's actually pretty small. But it was so beautifully constructed with so many different jewels and decorations that it was unbelievable. So the Queen of the South went. Now, she wasn't an Israelite, obviously. She came from Ethiopia. She was a black African. And she went there to see the glory and the splendor of this temple. Now, Solomon, of course, being who he was, took her on as another one of his women. And she had a son who was Solomon's son who got into all kind of mischief. But he basically becomes the father of the Ethiopian Jews. I always forget what they're called. I have a good friend who's one of them. But they all got airlifted to Israel during the troubles in Ethiopia. But they were very strict. They're very strict Jews. They're African in appearance, but they're very strict Jews. They keep all the dietary laws. But they're descended from Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. So this Gentile woman, we can forget her relationship with Solomon because Solomon had plenty of trouble with relationships. But, you know, she believed that there was going to be glory there before she actually saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the people in Nineveh believed that they were going to be punished if they did not repent. She knew there was some kind of glory at the temple in Jerusalem that she wanted to go see. So as Jesus said, she came from pretty far away just to hear the wisdom of Solomon.
Right.
And while she was there, not only from Solomon, but from the temple itself, from the Levitical priests that were there, she heard about the true God and heard this wisdom. And so she was impressed by that. And then the son that she had with Solomon followed Judaism. And Jesus points out that one greater than Solomon is here.
Yeah.
You guys think Solomon was so hot. Well, one way greater than Solomon is here.
Yeah.
I have more wisdom than Solomon. I have more knowledge than Solomon. I'm greater than Solomon. And in fact, you know, in another passage, Jesus says, one greater than the temple is here. But the generation didn't recognize him. And so the Queen of the South is going to rise up and say, I was a Gentile, non-covenant, unclean person, but I came to Jerusalem to see God's glory, and I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had all the stuff here, and you had the Messiah here. 900 and some years later, and you didn't believe it. And so, therefore, you're under judgment.
Yeah. You know, if you go back into 1 Kings 10, you know, where it says, you know, she came to Solomon and spoke to him about everything she had on her mind. And King Solomon explained everything she asked about.
Mm.
And there was nothing so obscure that the king could not explain it to her.
Wow.
And when the queen of Sheba witnessed Solomon's great wisdom, the house he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his ministers, the attendance and dress of his waiters, his servers, and the burnt offerings he offered in the house of the Lord, it took her breath away.
Mm.
The report I heard in my country about your deeds and your wisdom is true, she told the king. I did not believe the report until I came and saw with my own eyes that not even the half had been told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpasses the report I heard. Happy are your servants, and happy are these ministers of yours who stand before you always and listen to your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has been pleased to place you on the throne of Israel.
Ooh.
Wow.
There you go.
So she's saying, you know, what I heard about you, I had to come and see for myself.
Yeah.
But really, what I was told wasn't even half of what is here.
This is more awesome.
Yeah. So what was told to her was like really awesome. But when she comes and experiences it and sees it, she's like, well, that's nothing compared to what's here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what Jesus is saying.
Yeah.
They came, and as good as that was, it doesn't compare to what's here now, because I'm here now.
Yes.
Jesus is here.
Yeah.
And so
as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, we're going to be the same way when, you know, you may grow up hearing about Jesus and, you know, you may go to a church that talks about Jesus and you kind of say, oh, yeah, Jesus, nice, you know, Savior, holidays.
Right.
And then when you really meet him, when you really come to know him, you say, whoa. Now I really know him. Wow, this is really
exactly.
awesome. Then you start studying the scriptures and you say, wow, this is really awesome now.
Yeah.
And now I really know who he is. But when we really get to where we're going, when we really get to the our promised land, which is heaven, we're going to say, wow, all the stuff I thought about this was nothing compared to how it really is.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, just what you're saying there and just what we're uncovering here is like, it is, it's, you know, if you stop and think about it for a few minutes here, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Because of all the majesty and all the glory of God that we've seen and he's revealed in and through his son, Jesus Christ, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gift of salvation, you know, we haven't seen him face to face.
Yeah.
And we haven't even entered into really the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
We've had tastes and glimpses.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have had a lot of experiences.
Yeah.
And we both had our lives radically changed, you know, maybe in different ways, but we both had our lives radically changed.
Yeah.
And when you look back on it and you say, oh man, I didn't know anything. And then when you look back on your first few years as a believer and you say, oh, I was so excited, but I was kind of learning. Then you see now and you say, wow, I'm so excited now because I know even a lot more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to what we're going to know and see, we don't know anything, and we haven't seen anything.
We really don't. We've only seen a glimpse.
It's a glimpse. You know, we see it as through a glass darkly. You know, we can imagine what paradise is like, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nice there's going to be no more tears and no more death and no more sorrow and, you
know,
all that. You say, oh, yeah, that'll be nice. And, you know, somebody can talk about streets paved with gold or whatever the imagery you like is, and you say, wow, that sounds pretty cool. And you could talk about a mansion built with precious stones and say, oh, that sounds pretty cool. But how it's actually going to be, that doesn't cover.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I felt that divine hug of God, that you know, that love that just surpassed my understanding. And that was just for a moment. That was just for a moment. And I'm thinking, what's it going to be like to experience that for all eternity, where it doesn't pass away?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're back into the vineyard and you're in the fray of things and you're like,
yeah.
Lord, can we go back to that place? You know, just for a little while.
And I'm even going to be able to sing when I'm there.
Yeah, so you'll be on the choir.
Play the harp.
Oh, man, Paul's going to be in for us.
All minor chords are chords. Oh, this is good, too.
Whew.
Second break already. I got more notes. That's okay. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Behold, you have come, O
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
Yeah, that's an awesome song.
Song of Songs. Ugh, one of my favorite books. Changed my whole life when I studied it.
Yeah.
2007. But anyway, we don't have time to talk about that now. In fact, I think we have about 5 minutes left, maybe less. But the passage that comes after that, what we just read, is about lighting a lamp and not putting it under a basket, and the lamp of the body is your eye, so light can come in. But what I really wanted to get to is the fact that, and we talked about this the last few weeks with Ezekiel and Isaiah, you know, the light of the gospel goes out to everyone. There's not like a secret about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like a special club that has the gospel, and then, you know, the people in the other clubs don't have the gospel. The gospel goes out to everyone. And like the lamp that Jesus talks about, it's put on a stand so everybody can see it. Or in this case, everybody can hear it as well. And Jesus and the apostles, they didn't do their teachings in secret. They didn't preach in secret. It was always in public.
I didn't speak from some dark place of hiding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You can go back and listen to those shows, but you know, it's a public light to show what's true.
Yeah.
And the light eliminates the truth, capital T, that this is the only way to repentance, the only way to salvation. And when Jesus talks about the light comes in through your eye, you know, the light of the gospel comes into us just like light comes into your eye, and it registers on you. And even if you're blind, you know, he's not talking about your physical eye. He's not, even if you're blind, the gospel comes into you like a light. Then you consider it. And then if you accept it, then your whole soul is lit up because now the light comes inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in that passage, you know, it says when your eye is sound, then your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, then your body is in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the light receives, I mean, your eye receives that light, and it makes, you know, it deciphers an image, which is amazing. Take care then that the light in your body, that the light in you does not become darkness. If your whole body is full of light and no part of it is in darkness, then it will be as full of light as a lamp illuminating you with its brightness. I mean, that's really, you know, when we're as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're to become like him.
Mm-hmm.
We're to be in him, in him and through him and with him.
Mm-hmm.
And as we allow God to prune us and he molds us into the image and likeness of his son, you know, we're going to become like him if we allow him to do that.
Yes.
You know, do we worship him in spirit and in truth?
Mm-hmm.
Do we worship him with our whole being? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Why does Jesus tell us that? Well, it's so that there's no darkness in us. So that his light can shine through us.
Yes.
And that people can see the light of God coming through.
Right. But if you close your eyes to the light, you know, it says if you have bad eyes, you don't see the light. But if you close your eyes to the light, say, I don't want to know about that. You don't have that light inside of you.
Yeah.
That light doesn't illuminate your soul.
Yeah. You know, when you just said that, if you don't, you know, if you don't want to see something, you know, it's like, are you really allowing God to examine your heart and your soul?
Yeah.
So that you can be purified.
Exactly.
And how many of us go, oh, you know, Lord, not that, please, no, not right now, because I really like that. I just want to hang on just a little bit. I want to hang on to that, that sin a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're doing. I want to hold on to that affection a little bit longer because sin has an affection to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we like it.
Sure.
It's attractive.
Yeah.
And really what our prayer needs to be is, Lord, make it unattractive. You know, really, show me, Lord, the ugliness of my sin so that I despise it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, because without that, are we going to really see in the light of truth?
Yeah. You don't hear much of that kind of talk in churches anymore.
No.
When I was growing up, you always heard about sin and repentance and... But boy, now it's, you don't hear much about that.
Well, everybody's a lot better nowadays. Oh, no, the, no, that's, oh, not, no, that's not the case.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. And, you know, and we, if we go back to Isaiah 45 and that passage that we started with a few weeks ago, you know, the designer and maker of the earth who established it, not as an empty waste, but he created it to be lived in, I've not spoken in secret from some dark place in the land of darkness.
Yeah.
You know, he speaks and there's light.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that, you know, you would allow the light of Christ to come into your life, to come into your mind, into your heart, into your soul, and ask God to reveal to you and show you the darkness of sin so that you can repent of it and ask the Lord to just take it away, that you're not attracted to it. May God bless you and have salvation in Jesus Christ, His Son. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.